Yeah. Wednesday the 1st of August, Rabbi Mordechai Pachla, From Learning to Rejoicing.
Lamenting.
Let's start again. Say it again.
Lamenting to Rejoicing.
Rabbi, I needed to research a word in Lashon Kodesh recently to prepare another Dvar Torah, and the word was Rina, and I saw that in Tanakh we find that Rina has two completely opposite meanings. Just over a week ago, we read in the end of the second parak of Eicha, Kumi Roini Balayla. Rise, cry out, lament in pain at night. L'Rosh Hashmuros, the beginning of the watches. Shivri kamayim libeich noichas panei Hashem, pour out your heart like water in front of Hashem. So Roini in Eicha is a cry of pain, and yet we know from other parts of Tanakh, in terms of rejoicing of Nechama, Roni v'simchi b'Tzion, let b'Tzion, let Klal Yisrael, the daughter of Tzion, call out for joy, be happy, ki hinni ba, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming, v'shachanti b'soichet nom Hashem, and I'll dwell in your midst of Hashem. So we see that the same Roni means to cry out for joy. Tzali v'Roni Yashev v'Tzion in Yeshaya. Exalt, rejoice, the one to dwell in Zion. He got the Kiddush Kedosh Yisrael, because the Holy One of Israel is great in your midst. So what does Roini mean?
The Arab words, which are double the
footprint. Yeah, it's quite common. But what is the common denominator? What's the
crying out?
It's crying out. But I think it's more than just crying out.
What's the word in the Holy One? Which word was it?
Roini. Kumi Roini Balayla. Now it obviously means an expression of crying out. But we've got other words which mean crying out. We don't normally find the word crying or shouting to be used both in intense pain and intense joy. So to me it seems that Roini is a crying out, it's giving expression to a very, very deep, passionate feeling inside, deep inside the neshama. So if it's a sense of avelus, of genuine mourning, of genuine lamenting, then it's kumi roini balayla, take that deep inner feeling of loss, of bereavement, of genuine avelus, and give expression to it, crying out Balailo in the night of Golos, in the night of suffering. And then when a person is genuinely happy, is enjoying a simcha, enjoying the presence of the Shechina, then it's Roni v'simchi Otali v'Roini, then that same crying out is taking that inner simcha, that inner sense of happiness, and giving it joyous expression in a similar way. And that's the pashtus of how the same word can be used in both connections. And I think it links to what the Gemara says in Tainis. Kocham is abel al Yerushalayim zoicha d'roi besimchasa. Anyone who genuinely mourns and goes into Avelus for the destruction of Yerushalayim, the schus of that kumi roini balayla, the schus of that genuine misabel al Yerushalayim, is zoicha d'roi b'simchasa, then they can have a different kind of roini. They'll be able to be tzali v'roini yoshev v'tzion, they'll be able to be roini v'simchi v'tzion, because the one is connected with the other. if we have that capacity to reach deep inside ourselves and sense genuine pain, genuine loss, if that's the level of avelut, kol misabar al Yerushalayim, then that's the schus ultimately for being able to reach into the same recesses of our neshama for absolute simcha in the coming of Mashiach, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. I do work with people who have private avelut, and the derech, the hashkofa, to help someone in their own individual avelus is really just to guide them and facilitate their ability to be in touch with that real deep sense of loss. Because only when they have reached that level of genuine kol hamis abel, only then can they go through it. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu has built the neshama in a way that only after there's a genuine sense of loss can there be real nechama and real comfort and real consolation and rebuilding and a new sense of simcha afterwards. I recall a couple of situations I once had to deal a few years ago in South Africa. There was a tragic accident with a helicopter. Young man in his 30s died as a result. I knew about the case, but it was out of town and I wasn't really involved. And then about 3 or 4 months later I had a phone call from one of the brothers of the Nifta, of the one who was deceased, and he said that Baruch Hashem, the brothers and the sisters are getting on with their lives now. It's 3 or 4 months later. I don't think they have a father. The mother is in a very bad way. She's even worse now than she was 3 or 4 months ago. And they asked me, if I don't mind seeing her, to see what can be done. And she came from this other town. It must have been a journey of an hour or two each way. And I saw in my shul over the course of a few weeks. And I also, so what happened at the time of the Levaya, the time of the Shiva? And she said that her children were very worried for her, that she wouldn't be able to handle the situation. So they made a deal with a local doctor, and he prescribed tranquilizers in order to help her cope with the situation. But I'm not sure about the dosage of tranquilizers. She says that whole week was one big sort of confusion. Well, didn't really know where she was. Episode Levi was happening, episode of Shiva going on in the house, but she couldn't really recall what was happening. So I said to her, now I understand. The rest of the family went through Shiva, went through Avelus. Once they could go through the process of Avelus, then the natural thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is given the Koichos HaNefesh, an ability of the genuine Avelus to go on to Nechama. The Shiva, the Nechemta, is a natural flow, a natural continuation, if there's been avelus. But if there hasn't been avelus, then there can't be chana. And although it wasn't a halachic shiva that she was still missing, it was already too late for that, but the process of avelus I had to facilitate for her to do a long time after the event. One more case. A young mother her daughter was about 6 or 7 years old, came to see me with a very interesting background. When she was the same age as her daughter is now, her mother was Nifta. It's been very hard, she was only 6 or 7 at the time. And they made a shidduch very quickly for her father, for the almond. And the father told the children that Lekovod, the new wife, he doesn't want to see any show of Avelus in the household. So this little 6 or 7 year old who had just lost her mother wasn't able to be mesabel. She wasn't able to mourn, to grieve. When she was a teenager, she had some kind of breakdown. I went to see one of the mumchim, and the mumchim said the breakdown is a delayed reaction to what happened 10 years earlier. Very nice diagnosis, very nice prognosis, but gonosh katal. Then Baruch Hashem, she found a very nice shidduch, and then this baby was born. And when this young girl went to Gan, to nursery school, so there were problems in the school, and they called the mother in, and through a process of discussion they came to the same conclusion that 20-25 years earlier she'd gone through a crisis, a trauma, and now her daughter was in the same age, so she was like reliving it, and that's what was causing it. So she said, so what's going to happen now? Every 10-15 years I'm going to have a breakdown, and every 10-15 years they're going to tell me that just because I wasn't. So it was one of the situations where we had to facilitate a process of avelus 25 years after the event.
Which way?
There's a way of doing it. This is not the forum to explain, but until she was able to be Miss Abel, she couldn't be Zoyche V'Roya Simcha. Because that's the way the Koichas HaNefesh work. There are other examples, but I think that the one story that highlights this whole principle and this whole concept is a story that I heard from the former Rav Roshe Beis Yisrael, Rav Me'elau. And I remember one Tisha B'Av late afternoon sitting in Johannesburg and telling this story to Rav Pesach Kohn, who was there giving shiurim. He always collects stories for later verification and publication. This one I don't think has been published yet. The story goes like this. As is well known, Rav Lau was a child yosem from the Holocaust. And there was a transit camp in France, just outside Paris, little village, where there must have been maybe 100 or 150 of these boys, ranging in age from about 15 down to about 2 or 3. Sheiris Aplato, taken from the camps, on the way to Eretz Yisrael, and being rehabilitated and looked after in this village outside Paris. And Rav Lau says it wasn't a very pleasant time. They weren't so nice to him. It wasn't easy. They had a very difficult time. There was one lady, a kind of maloch, the like house mother, who was looking after them. She was the einzige tzadekes, but otherwise it wasn't a good time. So just before they finished, however long it was, a year, 18 months, and they were ready to go on to Eretz Yisrael. So the village planned to have a whole teches, a whole ceremony, a farewell in the village square, with all the dignitaries, the mayor and councillors and other important people speaking from the dais, from the platform, in this tremendous act of chesed, as I saw it, before they sent them on their way. Now the Yesomim were very angry, and they said they didn't look after us nicely. They should now get publicity as if they're big tzaddikim. So these little youngsters, the organizers, they must be 14, 15 years old, they grouped together and they took up machlata. They're not going to attend. They're not going to come. So Nebuch, it was quite a political crisis that these Yesomim were creating. So they knew that the only way to the heart of these children was via the house mother. So they asked her, please persuade them to come. So she spoke to them, she said, look, I know exactly how you feel. Maybe if I was in your shoes, I also wouldn't want to go. But listen, we have to do it. There's no choice. Please, do it for me. Don't do it for them, do it for me. So they reached a pshara. What was the pshara? They were all going to go, but they were not going to look at any of the speakers. They were going to stare at the floor throughout the ceremony. Now, apparently, if one goes to the archives of Paris Match, it's like the news magazine of France, there's a picture there which featured where you see a whole sea of heads, or tops of heads, probably very close shaped, not because of cedars, but because of the way they looked after them there, all staring at the floor. That's what you see, a whole mass of heads in the ceremony. So one by one, it was supposed to last about an hour and a half, the mayor stands up, he looks at his audience, he had a nice 15-minute drosha prepared, a hostile audience, the Gaon is read, it's not like the Torah way where everyone is so enthusiastic. So he spoke for 2 minutes and sat down. All the other dignitaries spoke for a couple of minutes and sat down. So after about 10 minutes, they were on to the last speaker. The last speaker, I've now remembered his name, Mr. Goldberg. Mr. Goldberg was a Polish Yid who, before the outbreak of the Second World War, he had been doing very well in Poland as an industrialist, and he decided to invest in some major concern in France. So he took a lot of money from Poland, relocated to France, and that saved his panasa for after the war. So he was living in France after the war with a lot of money that he had there. I think he lost his whole family, and so many did, and he chose to use the profits of his concerns in France to pay for these Yesomim on the way to Eretz Yisrael. So he had been a major benefactor of what was happening, so he was like a guest speaker. And he looked at the children and he couldn't speak. Finally, his dream of doing this act of chesed to these Rachmanas children without families . He could only say two words could be expressed from his lips. Kinder. Tyra Kinder. Dear children, precious children. Then he couldn't speak anymore. And then an amazing thing happened to the group of youngsters that were sitting on the floor with their faces pointing to the floor. They started feeling that their cheeks were getting wet. A brand new phenomenon. They'd never experienced this phenomenon in their lives. And it was embarrassing. And they started taking the sleeves of their jackets to try and wipe off this wetness. And the more they tried to wipe it off, the more it flowed. until eventually one of the older boys stood up. The Rosh HaChabura, probably the one behind the whole plot, so they wouldn't come. Rav Lam mentioned his name, but I don't remember, I don't recall. He said he went on to become a senior medical mumcha in one of the hospitals in Eretz Yisrael. And he stood up and he said, on behalf of this Chabura, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Goldberg. As you can see, we don't feel like thanking anybody else. And we need to thank you because you've given us a very precious gift. Throughout the years of trauma, of turmoil, of suffering, of loss, we couldn't afford to cry. We couldn't afford to get in touch with pain, with loss, with avelos. If we did, we wouldn't have survived. We had to kill off that part of us which registers feeling in order to survive this terrible hope. And that remained till today. Today you set off a mechanism that had been long dead, and there was now a Tchiyas HaMeisim, Chayos HaVeneyo. And today, for the first time, we allowed ourselves the luxury of being with Abel. Of sensing the terrible loss. And because you gave us Rashus, because you allowed us to understand what deep feelings are, then we'll be able to use that Koyach HaMiyas Hashem as we rebuild our lives in Eretz HaKodesh and begin again to taste the simcha of family life, of friends, of mishpacha. You've given us the gift of simcha as well, through allowing us to open up this part of our neshama. This set of shiurim is called the Torah Way, because ultimately all the paths of Avodas Hashem go through Torah. Torah is our refuge in times of deepest pain. Ulei Torosa Shashuai, says the Kapitel in Tehillim, Ozavarti Va'oni, at least there is an Ovei Miklot. We can take our pain with us into the Beis Medrash and find some sustenance, some nechama. And in times of joy, we go to the same Beis Medrash. Sofa Nocha Alim Rosecha, the ultimate expression of sustenance, of happiness, Kemoitei Sholal Rav, discovering this tremendous treasure. And there's another chazal on the pasuk that we began with, Kumi Roini Balayla, where the pshat haposhut, the literal meaning of the pasuk, is definitely negative. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, or Rabbi Yechman Oimer, the Medrash VaYikor Rabo, Ein Rino Shel Torah Elo Balayla. The ideal time for the song of Torah, the rino shel Torah, the calling out, the chavrusa, the exchange, the learning, the vocalizing, ideally is at night. Shenema kumi roini balayla. This medrash takes this pasuk of Avelus from the end of the second capital of Echa and says, what's rino? Rino is rino shel Torah. Kumi roini balayla. Go into the Beis Medrash at night. That's when the rino shel Torah should be heard. And a similar medrash in Shmoyt Rabba Moyla Hoya Rabbi Yechanan Shein Rino Shel Torah Ela Balaylo Shneema Kumi Roini Balaylo. Something special about learning Torah at night. Night is the time of Emunah. We don't have clarity. We don't have light. להגיד בבוקר חזרך במנוסקה בלילס. I heard once from the Volga themselves of Yisoid that there are two malachim. One who's the malach of choshech of night, and that malach is called Emunah. The Menoska Balelos. So in Shemayim he's on duty. And one is the Malach of Yoim, and he's called Chesed, because when we can see everything and everything is clear and understandable, that's the ultimate Chesed. Lagi Baboike Chazecha. So that ties up with the Gemara in Chagiga, Omer Eish Lakish, Kala Oisek Patoira Balayla, whoever engages in Torah learning at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Olav Chutzal Chesed Bayayim. As a schar, as a reward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to draw the thread of Chesed to him by day. Shneema Yoyim Mitzavah Hashem Chazdoi Umatam Yoyim Mitzavah Hashem Chazdoi Mishum Uvalai Lo Shira Imi. We've gone from lamenting to rejoicing. We've gone from the Gimel de Puranusa to the Shiva de Nechemta. We're still in Golos. We're still awaiting the ultimate Nechama. But if we can choose the Torah way, if we can do Kumi Roini Balaylo, not only at night time in the 24 hour cycle, but at the night of our goals, if we take that pain into the Beis Medrash and understand what it's like not to have the Shekhinah with us, not to have the Beis HaMikdash, and in the course of that Torah learning at night, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will be Moshech Aleinu Chesed with the ultimate Yoyim, the ultimate day, the ultimate clarity, with the Asana Shah and the Hedon Lamein. Amen.